Now, right now, what are we doing right now? Okay, we are, you know, modern life has grown increasingly hectic these days, and we here at Morning Sedition want to help. Now in the studio is a man known to spend an inordinate amount of time pondering subjects both large and small, so much so that we've decided it constitutes a philosophy, which we call Pashman's Rules. Here now is the man who some people think is one of the major powers here at Air America Radio, editorial producer Dan Pashman. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. So you lived in Boston for how long?
I lived there for 6 years.
But really, Medford, yes?
5 years in Medford, then Medford and Somerville, 1 year in downtown Boston.
A lot of people who don't live anywhere near this place and think that a car service is some sort of indication of political leaning might not know what that means to be in Medford and Somerville. How far is that from Boston? How does that play into the Boston?
It's really not far. Boston is actually a geographically very small city.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to put it in New York terms, I mean, you could be in Somerville, and that's kind of like living in the Upper West Side versus the Village.
Uh-huh. Really?
You know, it's 20 minutes on the train.
Well, that's not quite true. It's a very different world out there. You go to Somerville, the difference between Somerville and Boston, the weird thing about Boston is very provincial, and there's definitely areas that you could walk across the street, and you're like, oh, my God, when did we get to Ireland?
Right. Actually, you know what a better comparison maybe is like Brooklyn versus Manhattan?
Yeah, that's a little bit. Yeah,
Somerville.
Now, does the subway run to Somerville?
Yes, it does. Although it stops running at 12:30 at night.
Ooh. It's a lot different. Yeah, their subways, you know, though they're clean and efficient, they look like toys compared to the New York City subway system.
Yeah, I actually wrote a 5-part series about Boston public transit. We won't get into that right now.
A what?
A 5-part series about Boston public transportation.
For which outlet?
For Boston's Weekly Dig, which I used to write for.
Now, let's talk about that. What's on your mind today about what are you going to talk about?
I just want to first say that I am so pumped
for
Boston. It's
going to
be awesome. And you know, it's early right now, so whoever's listening in Boston right now are our early bird listeners, and I will advise them to get there early to the Someday Cafe, because I assure you that I'm predicting that by 7 p.m. there will not be a spot in the house, and by 8 they'll be in the sidewalks looking in through the windows.
But 7 a.m. you mean?
Yeah, you got to get there before 7 a.m. if you want to see.
If there's still people hanging out at 7 p.m., then it's not really on us.
That's kind of sad, really.
Ted Leo was here. And Mark Maron was right there. Mark Riley.
If you look really close, you can still see him.
That was with the cup he was drinking out of.
Oh God. Oh wait a minute. I'm not sure I want to go to Boston now.
Oh come on, Riley.
No,
it's going to be a good time.
I know it's going to be a good time.
So what now are you going to tell us about? The Big Dig. Now, when I was there, I went to college in Boston from, you know, 81 to 87. Don't ask. I was on an extended plan. I did 4 years. And the last year, I took took a little time. And, you know, I had some things to do. I had some drugs to do and some grill cooking to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to live it.
Yeah.
But by the time I was there, the expressway was already, you know, under construction and breaking down, and it was, you know, constant traffic in that weird sort of multi-bridged area right outside of downtown. And you are a huge proponent of the Big Dig.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell people what the Big Dig is.
The Big Dig is the most expensive and most complex, most amazing construction project in American history, and one of the most complex, expensive, and amazing in human history.
Hmm. But wait, are you talking like this is compared to the pyramids?
It is the Great Wall of China of our generation. All right?
Yeah,
that's how amazing it is.
How would people in Boston feel about you saying this?
I'm sure they. I'm a little bit upset that people in Boston, they're down on the Big Dig
because
it's several years late and several $1 billion over budget, and apparently it has thousands of leaks.
But who cares?
I say
Pashman likes it.
Yeah, exactly. People need to get beyond that. That stuff will be a distant memory 50 years from now when the heart of Boston has been completely and totally transformed.
And so will we all be a distant memory 50 years from now.
Talk for yourself, Riley.
Yeah, really. Speak for yourself, Riley.
What?
I'm planning on living to at least 102.
All right, you watch and see.
The point is, a couple $1 billion in a couple of years.
How did this become a bummer? Now I've got to watch and see and speculate as to when.
The Big Dig is not a bummer, my friend.
No,
the Big
Dig
is about hope.
It's about hope, and I've seen it. I've not been in it. I have not been up there in time to see. I've seen pictures of the huge bridges and everything.
I've got the wall calendar.
But where is it leaking, dude? In the tunnel?
No, apparently it's like in the casing and it's leaking around. It's probably getting a little water in the tunnel. It's not even that big of a deal. I mean, look, people of Boston, you put the mafia in charge of a construction project. What do you really expect to have happen?
So now we're going to be taken out.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get to the Someday Cafe and it's like, Where's Pashman? There he is. Get Pashman. What kind of show is this? Right, the yeah, that's all. Yeah, offend the Boston mob. That's all.
Yeah, there you go. The yeah, state's filing a $100 million suit over this big deal.
Yeah, right. By the way, if you haven't made your bones and you want to meet Dan Pashman.
Someday Cafe.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, man. You're going to be part of the big dig.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be plugging some of those leaks.
Oh, my goodness.
So what are we going to do now? Are you coming back, or do we have sandwich talk, or what? What's going on?
I can talk about Boston.
All right, look,
you
know, we've got news to do, but we'll come back with you for a few minutes. That's Dan Pashman. What else we got, right? Riley, I think we got the Palm Pilot coming up. We're going to talk about the intelligence bill.
The intelligence bill, which has passed the House, and we're going to have the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio. Stay with us.
Yes, 34 past the hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Mark Riley's sitting right there. I see him every morning.
There
I spend
is.
More time with Riley than I spend with anybody. Do you understand
you
that? But I spend time with you, Dan Pashman, and Clutch Larson, and P.W. McDonald, who's busy. You know, I just see P.W. on the teacups with ears, you know, down in Orlando, maybe at the Epcot Center. Having a good time, laughing.
I picture him and Mickey standing next to each other with the castle in the background, waving and smiling in identical positions.
All right, we're going to talk about some more of those things in a minute, but right now we're going to finish up with Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey. Sorry, Linda, it's not tired. I will say it like a bar mitzvah invitation for the rest of time. So, Dan, what were we just talking about? Oh, Boston. I lived there for 7 years, on and off for 7 years.
Yeah.
The drivers in Boston, you have a theory.
Well, I just want to generally talk about, and you know, you and I agree on this, that Boston drivers are the worst drivers in the world that I've ever seen anywhere.
They are pretty bad.
After driving in Boston for a couple of years, I forgot that I even had turn signals.
Yeah.
Like, they're irrelevant. I mean, your taillights go out. They shouldn't be able to give tickets for a taillight being out in Boston because you don't need them.
No.
And Boston drivers, I find, they just wander. From one lane to the next, they wander out of side streets. They just roll right out of the side street in the middle of the street. They don't look. They don't mean to cut you off.
I have a theory about it. What's your theory about it?
Well, it's not a theory. It's a sort of a definition.
Well, here's a theory.
Go on,
Boston. The thing is that Boston, like unlike New York, which is a grid.
Right.
Okay, it is a rectangular box with cross hatching. You know, that's how the streets work here. Boston is based on a crescent model. You have a point, which is Boston, and all the major interstates go out at a diagonal. So the entire thing looks like a giant fan. So anytime you're going west on any major interstate or any small interstate, you're not really going west. You're going some variation of southwest or northwest. So I just think because of that, because of the semicircle model, that people drive not like people on a grid.
It's true. The streets are so messed up there. It's really because they were designed for horses and carriages. And in the olden days, what they did was, you know, they'd have a central point like City Hall or whatever, and they'd build one main road from there to another main point somewhere else.
Well, that was one of my problems. When I was there, I had a horse and carriage, and it's just they're not right now. They don't work now.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Dan, before you get out of here.
Yeah. Is that a hint?
We've got news to do. There's people out there chomping at the bit.
I know.
You know, there's people on the blog that are seething right now.
We do have to talk about the issues.
Yes, we do. Well, we do have to talk about the issues because they're important. We can't just be entertaining.
No, I know.
That's crazy.
There are people out there crying on the blog.
Well, you know, there's also some good people. There's a little love. There's a few people left that still love. You know, Mayor's there and Melanie's there and David in Japan with his, victim's English. Marin is face bashing the victim's English. Face bashing! And then, and then who's out there? Oh, yeah, Great American Patriot is still out there. They're all still out there.
I don't read the blog.
Me neither. I swear to God, I just checked in last night because I have, I still have an inner blog. Biatch. So, anyways, Pashman.
Yes.
What's the Dunkin' Donuts rap? Because that the first time I ever drank Dunkin' Donuts coffee was actually in Somerville, Massachusetts, and I was spoiled because I worked at a fancy coffee place before Starbucks. This was the Coffee Connection in Harvard Square, which was one of those sort of salon kind of boutique coffee joints before Starbucks even existed. All right, and then Dunkin' Donuts came out with the big one. Do you remember the big one?
Yes. The great one, I believe it was called.
Yeah, that's what I called it. Because, man, that stuff, I drink that in the morning, but you got a theory about Dunkin' Donuts coffee in Boston?
Well, it's pretty intricate. I don't know if we're going to have time to get into it.
I think our listeners can handle it if they're not too upset that we're talking about nothing.
Well, it's all iced coffee related. As you know, I drink iced coffee all winter long. I don't like hot coffee, really. But
this is another weird thing. That there's weird Pashman clauses. Yeah. He doesn't like hot sauce, can't handle mustard, and now he drinks iced coffee year-round.
Yeah.
See, like, sometimes you sound like, you know, just a kind of a beacon of rock and roll manhood, and then other times there's these weird little sort of, what, you know, wuss clauses.
Why is it wussish to drink iced coffee when it's 10 degrees outside?
Because you drink coffee. You drink iced coffee at 10 degrees?
Yeah.
Why not hot coffee?
Because I like iced coffee better.
No, but see, hot coffee is more potent.
That's not true.
It is true.
Not if you get more.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The point is that one of the challenges with iced coffee is getting the sugar to dissolve in the iced coffee.
That's why I use Splenda. Man, I'm freaking out, man. I'm
Dude, how far is your pen in your mouth right now? Are you okay? For our listeners out there, Marin has just eaten a pen.
You make him nervous.
Stockpiling Splenda packets.
Right.
No, he just talks about sugar dissolving. I'm like, I don't have to deal with that problem at all because Splenda magically dissolves.
Yeah, it dissolves in anything.
And what, I'm sure that's totally natural. There's nothing to be concerned about.
You should see it dissolve on a spoon right before you boot it, man. I'm screwed up on that.
You have to light it up, right?
Yeah, I'm screwed up on the Splenda, man. I'm over the top. Go ahead.
Well, just that the technique that I developed in conjunction with some help from my friend Stacy was the double cup.
Yeah.
You get iced coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, you get a double cup, and you pour the coffee back and forth between the two cups until the sugar dissolves.
Oh.
It works quite well. Dunkin' Donuts, though, in recent years has developed a new system. Now, I commend them for attempting to innovate to deal with this problem of sugar dissolving in the iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And they created like a syrup that they add to iced coffee as opposed to spooning regular white sugar in like they do for hot coffee.
They've been doing that a long time. Some of the bodegas do it and the Thai people do it, that liquid sugar.
Right.
That's the way to go.
Now, I applaud them for trying to innovate. But my problem with it does not taste as good. First of all, it's syrupy.
Yeah.
They put too much. It's sweeter than normal sugar, and they misestimate. It waters the coffee down, and it makes it too sweet.
So. Wow, that's some deep stuff. I'm going to have to really kind of...
You're going to have to write Mr. Duncan.
Yeah, and also, from what I understand, Dunkin' Donuts contributes more of their money to Republicans. You know, after you go to ChooseTheBlue.com, you start to realize, you know, if you want to boycott or protest, you know, Republican contributors, all that we have left on the fast food level, folks, is Arby's. So I hope you like part of meat. Dan Pashman, thank you very much for your input. I hope you changed some lives today. I feel like you did.
I think so, and I'm looking forward to Boston, guys.
Boston. All right. We will be in Somerville at the Someday Cafe in Davis Square Friday. Our guests will include Congressman Barney Frank. See you later, Dan. I'll see you in a minute, and probably right when you go into the other room and you're in the window with Clutch. All right. Always a pleasure. Sorry we didn't have the music today, but apparently technology is conspiring against us.
Next time.
So, Jimmy Tingle, Ted Leo is going to be with us. Barney Frank, as I said, Barry Crimmins. No tickets are necessary. Just come by anytime, 6 to 9. We'll be hanging out.
Swag.
We got swag. Swag.
Swag. Oh, sorry. We can't call it swag. Swag.
You remember Clutch corrected us? It's swag.
Swag.
Yeah, and Pashman was insistent that it was swag. Now, I can just hear people going, what are they doing? What are they doing? This is Air America. Why are they just talking about nothing? We will talk about intelligence reform and more after this. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. Your daily wake-up call to arms. I'm Air America Radio.